Today's share in Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Chaf Aleph Omud Aleph, and we're in the middle of Siman Yud Aleph, which is still dealing with the making of tzitzis, and we're in the middle of Sif Vav, which began at the bottom, Chaf Omud Beis, where the Mechaber said that if somebody stole wool, then you can't make tzitzis out of that wool, because it requires that it belong to you, V'asu Lohem, Misha Lohem. And we discussed a little bit of this din yesterday, that according to the Mechaber, this is true if you stole the wool, even with the Ba'alim having undergone Yeyush. They had totally given up of ever getting back the wool, and then you made it into the chutin, into the strings of tzitzis. Nevertheless, such wool is pasur, such strings are pasur to use at tzitzis. That's the sheet of the Mechaber. The Ramah, as I mentioned, disagrees, and that's where we begin today. The Ramah says, V'dafko kishegozal hachutin. The Ramah says that it is only not good to use such tzitzis if you actually sold the strands of the fringes, the strings of the tzitzis themselves. Then it would be possible to make them into, to attach them to a garment and use them. Avolim gozal tzemer, but if you stole wool and then you twisted it, you spun it, vason chutin, then that would be ksherim. That would be something that the Ramah says would be permissible. He certainly doesn't recommend it. You certainly shouldn't do something like this, forgetting about the Isser of Geneva. So about just for the even the mitzvah of doing tzitzis. You certainly shouldn't do this l'chatchila to steal somebody's strands of tzitzis or their wool. That is absolutely forbidden, of course. But if you did it, so if you stole the strands of the tzitzis themselves, then it wouldn't be kosher. But if you stole the wool and made it into tzitzis, it would be kosher. The Mishnah Berurah explains this in more detail. In Sif Katan Chav Ches, he writes that even if the Baalim have had Yeyush, Nisyashu HaBaalim, it's still possible if you stole the strands, the strings of the tzitzis themselves. Because the Yeyush Lokana, that's an inadequate way for you to acquire it just by the owners having given up hope. And even if you only stole strands of the wool that were spun but not twisted, so the mitzvah hasn't been fully made yet, the strands aren't fully kosher yet for the tzitzis, that's not considered a significant enough change, just you're spinning it, that you should be koner with both yeyush and shinui. The lo nishtana shmom ayde kain, as the Prima Gadim explains, it's change from being spun strands to now twisted as well, that doesn't constitute a shinui in their name, and therefore you are in konet. In Siv Katan Chav Tes, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Magen Avram that he says that the Ramah is arguing on the Mechaber, as I had already pointed out. The Sfirulei, the Hakro Miet, Afilu Imosu Achutim Itzemer HaGozul. Because the Mechaber implied that if you stole the wool, it's also Wasser. And the Ramah says, no, if you technically stole the wool, that would make it a significant change when you spun it. However, if you stole the strands, it is no good. Even if they weren't twisted, they were only spun, that still is not considered a significant shinui, and that is Gezela, and you can't be Yotzi the mitzvah with it. In Siv Katan Lamed, the Mishnah Berurah explains this in a little bit more detail. He brings down the Taz, who says that the Ramah is talking about Hechad Dehevi Yeyush Gamkein. That's talking about a case where you had both the Shinui and Yeyush. And therefore, V'konya B'yeyush V'shinui Hashem. Because before it was wool, now it's strands, plus the owner, the original owner, is giving up hope. Therefore, the Meikor Etzemer, originally it was wool, V'hash Techutin, now it's strands of tzitzis, and therefore you're kone with the combination of Yeyush and Shinui. However, the Magen Avraham is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, who disagrees with this Taz. And he says, D'midistam haRamah, the Ramah didn't specify that there was Yeyush over here. Therefore, Mashma the Sfirulei, Dafilu Kodem Yeyush Kosher. According to the way the Magen Avraham understands the Ramah, you didn't even require Yeyush. Here you have a significant enough Shinui over here by taking the wool and making it into strands of tzitzis. The Konyu Bishinui Maisa. This is called a change through an action. And by your changing it from wool to strands, that's significant enough of a change that you can be kone even without the Baalim having Yeyush. And he brings down the Chayim Mashmei Agro B'Beyura, the Vilna Gaon says the same thing, that Tamu Mishum Shinui Maisa, that here it's not just Shinui Shem, it's a Shinui Maisa, change intrinsically in the item, and therefore you can be kone. In Dirshu note 43, he explains this a little bit further, in that points out that the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes later on, Sheyotzi Midei Chova B'Matzo Hasuya Michitam gezulos, that one can fulfill the requirement to eat matzah on Pesach with stolen grains that you then transformed into matzah. Likewise, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if you take a lulav that you stole from somebody and you did something to it, vishipo, you smoothed it out in some way, so now you can use it. Also, your yotze, your chova, why? Mishneya moel midin shinui maisa, you did an action. Again, we're not recommending that anybody do this. We're talking about the halachic pure consequences. Can one be yotze with this item or not? Certainly, one shouldn't think for a second that anybody sanctions gezela. The Mishnah Berurah then continues and says, "V'im gozal chutin u'mechorin li acher lifnei yeyush." If you stole the strands and you sold them to somebody else before the owners had yeyush, then still lo yotza sheni betzitzis. Then the other person who you sold it to cannot be yotzi with those tzitzis, because there you just have shinui rishus, and the shinui rishus below yeyush. If you just change the ownership without the original balim having yeyush, lo kana, that would not be acquired by the new person, the lo karina baby asulahem. Therefore, he wouldn't own it, and he wouldn't be yotze with the asulahem. It has to be his tzitzis. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out, v'yim achar shabol yad hasheni nisyashu abalim. If after you sold it to this other person, this unsuspecting other person who buys the tzitzis from you, and only subsequently do the original owners have yeyush, then this is a big machlokis. The Mishnah Berurah says you can look this up in Choshi Mishpat, the yeyush deos bezeh. That's already a much more complicated case, and we won't go into it. However, Mishnah Berurah does point out, if first there was yeyush, v'im nisyashu, and then v'yachakach mechoron, then kon hasheni es tzitzis, then the second person certainly does acquire it, because now you have the two requirements having been done, the yeyush of the balim, as well as the shinui rishus. And he says, in this situation, af l'inyan bracha, mashma miha mogen avram, the yuchal levarach bezeh, the mogen avram brings down later on that one would be able to make a bracha on this. The ein bo mishum mitzvah bo b'aveira, this doesn't count as a mitzvah that was done through an aveira. Why? Kivan shehu lo gazel, he didn't steal it, so he didn't do an aveira to do this over here. The chayin pasach ha-maktis ha-shekel, likewise, that would be the psak of the maktis ha-shekel, that you could make a bracha on such a stolen item that you purchased after the original owners had yeyush. Mishnah Berurah does bring down the opinion of the Prima Gadim in the name of the Lavush that one should be machmir not to make a bracha on such a pair of tzitzis, and he also points out that the Taz and the Gra also are machmir. Dirshu note 45 does bring down that any purchaser from the second purchaser, the person who got it from the guy that stole it, and then he sells it to somebody else or gives it to somebody else, nirush alakola deos yochel avarach, that other person can certainly make a bracha on it. As pointed out, the Ramah did bring down the lechatchila osur lasosan, and the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Muhammad Aleph says that what the Ramah means to say over here is rotsa lomar lahatil atzitzis elu bibigdo. One should not lechatchila use such a pair of tzitzis to put it on because of the concept of mitzvah habor biavera. It's incorrect to do this. In the Bir Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim adds over here that af de kvar kana osam. Even though he's actually acquired them, they belong to him because of the concept of yeyush, the original owners have given up hope, and there's been a shinoy over here. The ein ha-aveira bo min ha-mitzvah gufa, and the actual aveira over here isn't done through the performance of the mitzvah. Nevertheless, mikol mokum, kivan dekan bo ayidei ha-tviya. Since the action of the spinning, it is actually the mitzvah to spin the tzitzis l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, d'ha b'in and tviya l'shma, because you have to do that l'shem mitzvah, memela bo ha-kinyon ayidei ha-mitzvah, and therefore it is improper. That's in the name of the Elie Rabbah. And the Gra writes similarly in terms of hiskim gamkin to osul lechatchila lahatil atzitzis ba-beged. He says you certainly shouldn't put the tzitzis on, but he gives a different reason, not the reason that we just brought down in the name of El Yeraba. But he says dare lo yuchal achakach levarich. The reason you shouldn't do this is because then you're going to be stuck with a pair of tzitzis that you can be yotzi with, but you can't make a bracha on it, as we just pointed out earlier in the Mishnah Berurah, that the Gra's opinion is you shouldn't make a bracha on it, because in regards to a bracha, we're saying Hashem's name, so therefore we're much more machmir not to say Hashem's name over something that is a stolen item. The Ramah himself adds on over here and says, "Le'inyan baracha ein lekamen resh simin tuf resh mamtes." The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Lamed Beis writes that the pasak shom, that the psak over there in simin fresh mamtes, is that ein yochol levarach lov, one shouldn't make a bracha. He points you to the Shari Tshuva and the Bir Halacha, where a much longer discussion on this is found, and ayin sham. Incidentally, earlier in the Bir Halacha, he pointed out that in order to get around any problems with stealing something, even when you purchased it from somebody, And we talked a little bit about this in yesterday's shiur about purchasing something on credit. So the Bir Halacha adds, Hamedakdik b'mais, if a person is very zealous in doing things correctly and doing things properly, Yira l'shalim abur hatzitzis, kodim shiatilim abeget, pay for the tzitzis before you insert them into the garment. Because in this way, kidei lehevi kinyan d'araisa, tachas yodah. This way you'll have a 100% kinyan in the strands that you purchased because you paid for them and they belong to you. V'lo yismach ala meshicha l'chud, and it won't rely just on the fact that you pulled them towards you in order to make a kinyan, because that would involve already some concern that you really fully hadn't acquired it on a daraisa level. And since this is the mitzvah daraisa of putting the tzitzis on the arba kanfos, we want to make sure that we do it correctly. So the best thing to do is to make sure that you've paid for it prior to you actually inserting it into the talus. In Dir Shuno 47, he points out that similar idea applies with the arba minim, the lulav and esrog. Similar. There it says in Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Nun Ches, She'elu hakonim esrog u'mishalmim olav rak li'achar achag, if you purchase an esrog and you only pay for it after yontif, ain't osim karoi, it's not proper to do so. Kiven shekol zman shelo shilmo es hakesef, since until the time that you actually paid the money, it's not a full kinyan on a deraisa level, it's only yours on a derabbanan level. Ve'ein yotzi midei chiv lochem deraisa, and you don't really own it on a deraisa level, and therefore you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. Therefore, lechatchila, he points out, nochon li'zor bekach, one should be careful about this, and make sure that you purchase the lulav and esrog, and similarly the chutim of the tzitzis, before you actually go and insert them, or Yotzei the Mitzvah. Siv Zayin, the Mechaber writes, Chutin She'ulin Halvohi, if you borrow strands from somebody else to put them onto your garment, that is called not She'ela, but that's called Halva. The Mishnah Berurah explains over here, Kol Lashon She'ela, anytime we use the language She'ela in Hebrew, Mashma She'yachsu lo osu dovin be'en, that you get that back, that same item that you borrowed, you return that same item. For example, I will do She'ela with your pot. I will take your pot, borrow it, and I will return that same very pot to you. However, when we use the Lashon Halva, if I borrow $10 from you, you don't expect to get the same $10 back. You expect to get back $10, but obviously a different $10 bill. Therefore, that's the difference between She'ela and Halva. So when the Mechaber wrote Chutin She'ulin, when you borrow, in terms of the word She'ulin, it's really Halva. The person isn't expecting to get back that same exact strand of tzitzis. He's expecting to get back the value of that. The Ilu Chutin She'ulin, Mishnah Berurah therefore says, when you borrow the chutin, mistama havi hava, he's actually talking about getting back the value of those chutin, not those same chutin themselves. The Karina Bey Mishalhem. And in this way, you do satisfy the requirement that they belong to you, even if you borrow, quote, the strands from somebody, because you're not really giving them back those same strands, even if you do, but you're giving them back the value of those strands. And indeed, that's what the Mechaber continues, and he says, "Delo hadre beinayu, uchadidei dami," because you're not really returning those same exact strands, and they're considered therefore yours while you have them in your possession. In Sivkotin Lamed Dalet, however, the Mishnah Berurah does remark, "Im she'elam lo adaitish yachazirim lo be'ein." If the person says, "Okay, I will give you these strands over here, but I expect to get these very same strands back," then lo yivarech alayu, then you're not really yotzei the concept of lohem, and you shouldn't make a bracha on them, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the yesh lomar shehish ilam lo limlo chacheres, because it is possible to say that you borrow them for some other purpose, not for the purpose of tzitzis, but to sow something. Avolim hishalot tzitzis mesukanim, ke'en shalanu, shem shazurinu psukim. However, under normal circumstances, nowadays the Mishnah Berurah says, when you're lending somebody or you're borrowing from somebody a real pair of fringes over here that have already been spun and twisted, then you can use them and put them into your talis and in fact be yotzi the mitzvah and make a brach on it, because the bevadayin is sonim lo b'maton al menas lahachzer, because even if he's expected to get those very same fringes back, he obviously lent them to you that they should be yours while you're putting them on the garment that you're going to put them on, because he knows that you want to put them on for tzitzis. And this semayal idea is expressed in Simon Yudalit in regards to a talis. In Dir Shuno 49, he brings down an interesting idea here. She psulam shel chutim elu hu mishum she'enam nechshavim shelo. When you borrow these strands from somebody without the understanding that they're going to be put into a garment, then in that situation they're possible because they're not yours. because he didn't give them to you for the mitzvah putting them in for tzitzis. And the Shelus Tshuvas Avni Nezer points out over here, Shemikach Shelo Poslu Mach Meshetzorich Lasira Mehatalis Kedei Lachsirim Labalim, from the fact that we don't say that they're possible because you're going to have to take them off the garment that you put them on and return them to the original owner. Therefore, we see from here, Nimso She'en HaKesha Shel Kayoma, even when the knot that you put on tzitzis, when you tie them to the garment with a knot, if you're obviously planning on returning those fringes, you didn't make a permanent knot. Nevertheless, mashma shetzitzis kishera gamim kosher bekesher she'eno kshak kayama. You see from here that the tzitzis are actually good, even if it's not a permanent knot. It's just knotted loosely. It's an interesting diuk that the Avni Nezer brings down. And on that note, we conclude today's shir.